Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome. I tell you, this is exciting. Well, we want to welcome you all to the show this morning. We want to thank God for another day. I thank God for my very, very special guest who is here in the virtual studio with me on today. Awesome, awesome, awesome woman, I tell you. Author, motivational speaker, empowerment speaker, inspirational speaker, preacher. She is also works with young people who have various disturbances that causes their behavior to land them in all kinds of trouble. And some would call them our troubled youth. So she works in a group home. She's led successfully her own book publishing business, selling her books and, you know, selling them and marketing as a published author successfully for years. And I'll tell you the name of her book as soon as we it's a surprise to me, it's a surprise to you that she's on here with us today, but we are so, so very excited and happy that she is. So without further ado, I want to just welcome her to the Coach Lalisa Show. I think this is your first time at the Coach Lalisa Show.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I just want to say thank you so much for allowing me the opportunity. It's an honor to be, you know, a guest on your show.
Oh, listen, you know, it's so funny because you didn't know you were going to be a guest until about 15 minutes ago.
I most certainly did, and I guess the Holy Spirit worked in so many different ways, you know. And it's always a time that's anointed and appointed.
Mm-hmm. Amen, amen. So for those of you listening in, just to let you know, my awesome, awesome surprise guest, if you haven't picked up on her voice by now, it is none other than the author of The Diary of a Crack Addict's Wife, Dr. Cindy Hunter. I tell you, I wish I had my clapping thing right now because I would have that thing going, giving you the biggest shout out and hand clap I can give. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, people, they need to dial in right now. They don't want to miss the awesome Dr. Cindy Hunter, who has just really done so much. Oh, my God. And, oh, boy, just your work with the people that have been abused is phenomenal. I don't know why we haven't seen you on TV yet. On BET has that, the BET Awards. And I'm not sure. Maybe they'll be calling your name this year. But for the work that you do, Dr. Hunter, well, maybe I need to find out how to get your name in there because you deserve to be honored on that show for the work that you do with women. Especially, I know you do work with men as well, but with the women who are faced with very, very, very abject abuse situations, beaten. Mm. Some have been those that have been murdered, and you have worked with their families are, you know, left here. They've been victims of murder through domestic violence, and you're working with people in sexual abuse because this month, April, being a sexual assault awareness month. And so we've been doing stuff all month long here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, two or three days a week, we bring out this topic to help people. And my theme is thriving beyond abuse. And so people like yourself, and then I'm going to be bringing on others throughout the remainder of the month that have that are thriving beyond abuse. Not just, you know, you survived, you barely made it out. You're okay, but you still can't get past the fact that someone did this to you. You still have hate and bitterness in your heart for the abuser. But by the end of the month, we want to show people how to thrive, how to be able to get beyond, not just, well, getting beyond it, but thriving beyond it. We get beyond it just because days and the years go by. But how do you actually thrive beyond? So what's your secret, Dr. Hunter, to thriving beyond? Because you've done it. And like I said, people coming on, we're going to talk about that. So why don't you talk about your story?
Well,
give your story.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give you a little bit about my story. I myself was a victim of abuse, sexual abuse, at the early age of 5 or 6 years old. And I was abused by a family member just like so many others. And it was swept up under the rug. Even though my grandmother knew who the abuser was and actually almost walked in on the situation, when she approached my abuser's mother, who happened to be my aunt through marriage, it was a first cousin. And he happened to be 13 years older than I was. He was like 18 years old that had abused me. When my grandmother approached his mother and told his mother what had happened, his mother denounced it and called me a liar and said that she lied on my son. My son did no such thing to her, you know, and it was swept up under the rug. I'll never forget it. You know, my aunt told my grandmother, if you don't stop the child from lying, she'll never amount to be good for nothing. You know, she's a little liar. So that stuck in my head. That stuck in my head, and it was very detrimental to me because I was told not to say anything. Okay, and it was swept up under the rug, so I never received any psychological help, none of that, you know. So as a child, that's very hard, okay. And every time someone would come around me and it was a room full of people, I always felt like they were laughing at me or they were talking or they knew what had happened to me. So I became an extrovert, okay. I mean, an introvert. I didn't want to play with any of the other kids. I stayed to myself, and animals became my retreat. They became my best friends, because they couldn't tell my secret and what had happened to me, and they couldn't judge me. And that went on for a very long time. I would go in the woods and play with animals. If animals were around the house, I played with, you know, very seldom did you see me play with other kids, you know, for a while.
Wow.
And then I didn't tell anyone what had happened to me.
Wow, Doctor. You know, that's really something. You know, you, oh, man, go ahead. This is so powerful. You know, you became an introvert. You didn't want to be around other people the talking. Because, you know, you were sharing with me earlier about this dog that you had just went to go see about taking his dog. And I'm saying to myself, what in the world does this woman want with a dog? You know, I'm not. And I never knew
this, right?
Never knew this. I never knew this part of your story, and you know I've been knowing you for a little while now, and I'm just so blown away with what you're sharing here, and so just want to take a minute just to welcome, you know, those who are tuning in to this broadcast. If you just tuned in, we have Dr. Cindy Hunter on the line, and she is a victim of sexual abuse, domestic violence abuse, and she's telling us her story, but also showing us her secret for thriving beyond the abuse. So go ahead with your story, Dr. Hunter.
So as time went on, I never told anyone what had happened to me. You know, my grandmother knew, and I just assumed that nobody else in the family knew about it except for my siblings and my other cousins who were related to the cousin who had abused me. And for years it went on, and I started being abused by other members as well. And it was just like swept up under the rug. It was just like I was the pass-around kid for a minute. That's the way I felt. And then back in, I think it was like 2005 or 2006, after I had released my first book, Diary of a Crack Addict's Wife, I decided to tell my family, reveal it to my family, what had happened to me. And when I did, I had an aunt who was a pastor, and my grandmother, youngest daughter. When I told them what happened to me, she told everyone, she said, she's lying. No such thing happened to her, because I know my mother would have protected her. She said, she's lying on my mother. My mother protect, and she said, I'll protect my mother in life, I'll protect her in death, and I know my mother did not allow her to be abused. No, it wasn't that my grandmother allowed me to be abused. It happened, but she swept it up under the rug, you know, and the abuser went without being punished, you know, and I always felt bad about that, and I kind of had some sort of resentment towards my grandmother, you know, for that, you know, for allowing that to happen, not allowing it to happen, but allowing him to get away with it. So as time went on, what I realized is this: in order to be free of all the hurt, anguish, and pain that I had harbored or subdued for so many years, I had to learn to love him in order to forgive him, okay? Even though right now I don't want to be in his presence because he still has a very hateful spirit, and I don't know whatever happened to him, and I don't see him that often because he's, you know, in upstate New York. He's, you know, miles and miles away from me. But it has trickled down to his children over the years because that same hateful spirit that he had then, he has now. Until his children came to me, his daughter, never knowing what had happened to me, she came to me and we talked over the phone. And she asked me, she said, has my father, she said, I just want to ask you this, what happened to my father as a child? And I said, what do you mean? She said, why is my father so hateful and resentful and mean?
Mm.
I said, why do you say that? She said, because it's he has about six daughters. And we always, when we grew up, he never hugged us, never showed us any affection, none of that. He was always mean and hateful. She said, my father is like 60-some years old. He's had two heart attacks and a stroke, and he's still mean. He has grandchildren. He's never hugged any of his grandkids, never showed them any affection. She said, I remember as a child, when he used to come to try to pick us up from our grandfather, when we would be at a grandfather's house, my grandfather would fight him and never let us go with him. And she said, I always wondered why, what that was about. Now my grandfather's dead, and he can't tell us why. She said, I want to know why. So, you know, for a moment, I was going to be quiet and stop, not say anything. But when she went on and said, what could have happened to make this man so hateful and mean? And was he like this all of his life? She said, my God. She said, right now he's so hateful and mean, none of his children would deal with him. She said, I'm the only one that has any type of relationship with my father.
Wow.
So I didn't want to say anything to her, but when she kept going on and on and on, I said, you know what, let me stop you. I said, let me just say this. Because she said, we want him to have a relationship with his grandkids. You know, he has granddaughters, grandsons, and he doesn't, you know, he's not affectionate towards any of them. He won't pick them up. He won't play with them. You know, they don't have a relationship with the grandfather. So I had to come out and tell her because it was almost as if she wanted that. She was longing for that. She was missing that type of relationship in her life. So I said to her, I said, well, let me just be honest with you. I said, I'm not going to tell you this because of meanness or spite or malice or anything like that. I said, but sweetheart, when I was 5 or 6 years old, your father must have raped me when I was 5 or 6 years old, you know, violently, by force. I said, when he drugged me in the woods as a little girl on an old abandoned school bus, I'll never forget that musky smell and the mildew, okay, and the spider webs. I'll never forget that. I said, and more than likely, your grandfather knew about it. So, therefore, he was trying to protect you all as children, okay? I said, so your father has been that way ever since I can remember. He was always a hateful little kid when I was growing up. He was a hateful young man. And I don't know, maybe he had been abused. Who knows, okay? But whatever it is, he blocked it out and just kept going through life just like that. So, you know, as years went on, like I said, I had to learn to love him in order to forgive him. Because as it says in the Bible, how can God forgive you if you don't forgive those who are perpetrated against you, okay? And in life it's kind of hard, you know, but I just thank God that he let me live through that experience, to get through that experience, not for myself but for somebody else, so I could be a vessel of hope for them, you know. And some people have very abusive situations or stories, and they're living it, you know. And some people have turned to drugs, alcohol. Some people have committed suicide. Some people have turned the other way and decided to become, you know, take a different route in life as far as the sexuality, you know. And I'm not going to knock that. But what I'm saying is this: there is a God. Where there's a will, there's a way. And if I can get through it, anybody can get through it, you know, because their situation is worse than ours, Felice. And I understand you are a victim of abuse as well, you know, sexual abuse. And I'm just so thankful that you offered me to be on your show, and you're doing such mighty, awesome work for God. And it's anointed and it's appointed a day like today.
Anointed
on Thursday.
Go ahead. Anointed and appointed. You're right.
As a day such as today. But last Thursday, I just want to tell you this. I want to share this with you. As you mentioned earlier, I do work with youth. And on last Thursday, I was in a class, and we were talking about violence, and we were talking about gang prevention and how it leads to other behaviors. And we started talking about teen dating violence and domestic violence and bullying and all of that. Then we got sexual abuse. And there was a young lady who was teary-eyed the whole time. She kept saying she blamed her mother. She blamed her mother. I wanted to know why she blamed her mother. She said her mother got killed 3 years ago. Her mother was a crack addict, and she was killed due to a robbery. She had robbed someone, and they killed her. And the young lady said she remembered her mother being abused when she was a little girl. She was beaten so badly until her nose would just bleed nonstop. She thought sometimes it would never stop bleeding. And I said, well, why do you blame your mother? She said, I just do. So when we started talking about sexual abuse, I noticed she really got teary-eyed. And the other young ladies in the class, age 13 to 17, were asking questions such as, what if, you know, I was telling her my story. I said, well, y'all know my story. I was abused as a kid. I was sexually abused when I was like 5 or 6 years old by our first cousin. Nothing ever happened. My grandmother never, you know, it was like almost, even though she walked in on it, she never did anything about it. And had another family member that didn't believe. So the little girl burst into tears and started crying. She was asking, her friends were asking, well, what if you had a parent, like a step-parent that was abusing you, and you went and told your parent, or you went and told your grandma, and they didn't believe you? I said, well, you keep on going. You go to the school, tell your school counselor. What if you told them and nothing's been done about it? I said, well, that's when you find somebody like Miss Cindy who will believe you and get you the help that's needed. And the little girl burst into tears. And that's when she told me that she had been abused by her dad. She said, I can't take it no more. I said, is this your stepfather or biological? She said, this is my biological father. She said, he's been abusing me ever since I've been 10 years old. She said, I'm 17 now. And she said, she kind of swept it up under the rug. She said, first he started writing her love letters, how much he loved her, how much he missed her, how much he wanted to be in her life. She said, next thing you know, he would come in her bedroom to tuck her in, and he started, you know, having oral sex with her at 10. She said by 12, she had a sexually transmitted disease. Her grandparents took her to the doctor. And, the grandparents asked her who had messed with her, who she let mess with her. She said no one. She said, but my dad did this to me. Her grandparents didn't believe her, and they told her to stop the foolishness because their son would do no such thing to her. And don't be telling people that. So she kind of let it go. Then she said it got to the point, you know, when he was married to her stepmom, he would come into her bedroom after the stepmom was asleep and get in bed with her and take her clothes off and have oral sex with her. And she said she finally got tired of it and went to the school counselor and told the school counselor about it. So the school counselor went to the family, went to Child Protective Services and got the help that they needed to approach the stepmom and the dad. So he had to be removed from the house. So when the stepmom found out about it, she told the stepmom. She said it was as though my stepmom believed me at first. She said, I really thought she believed me. She said, but then she turned on me and told them she didn't want me no more to take me away. I was a liar, and she don't know why I was lying like that on my dad, and that she hated me. She never wanted to see me again, and they had to come and take me out of the home. She said, but there was a neighbor that lived three doors down that opened her doors and allowed me to stay there, and that's where I'm at right now. She cried so hard she had everybody crying. I was crying. The other counselor was crying. You know, because she said, I don't have any family. I don't have anyone. All I had was my dad and my grandparents. I said, well, what about your mother's parents? She said, they're dead. Like, her mother was adopted. I said, what about her biological mother? She said, I have no idea where she is. All I know is her first name and that she's in Mississippi. And that's it. And she just cried. I said, well, you know what? You got family now. I said, I'm going to be your godmother. I'm going to make sure there's nothing that you want. You know, I said, God is a mighty, awesome God. And the gentleman that was instructing the class with me, he said, I'll be your godfather. And we're going to take care of you and make sure that you get everything that you need. And I just want all those people out there to know that God is an awesome God. He is an awesome God. He is never going to bring you to something or let you go through something without always making sure that you have what you need, you know, And I didn't go through this for myself. I went through it for everybody else, you know, to be a vessel and a beacon of hope for someone else, just such as Coach Lalisa. You know, Lalisa, I just want to say this to you. I thank you for opening doors for so many to cross over that bridge because to that beacon of hope or light, because so many have been lost. But through your show, they get the, you know, through your show, they get what the essential tools that they need in order to go on and survive. And it gives them hope, inspiration, you know, and motivation and determination to go on. And I thank you for that. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. And God is so awesome. Really.
Yes, he is so awesome. And, he is certainly, he's amazing. You know, God is doing great things, and we thank God for you, again, you know, being available in such short notice to be able to come here and to share how you are thriving beyond sexual abuse. And what people need to know is that, like what you said, it's that work that you're doing that allows you to really thrive and soar even more, you know, to soar higher and higher. You know, you have that book. That awesome, awesome book that you have, and you have the play, and then you have, you know, the new book that you're working on, but and all the work that you're traveling around to the different women's conferences, women's retreats, and I know that, you know, and big conferences, you know, and I know that you and I have, you know, worked together, and you have your Destined for Greatness conference that you do that is coming soon. You know, you'll be doing that this year, I'm sure, in several places, you know, and then, you know, some of the struggles that you had, you know, with your mom passing away and then having to take care of her all those years and having to, you know, put your own self on the, you know, basically on the shelf, you know, to take care of her when you, you know, could have, like you were in the prime of your career. Okay, that's thriving. That's how you thrive beyond. Some people, you know, wouldn't have been able to do that. But you put your stuff on hold. I mean, you were right at the, you know, height of your book career traveling.
Mm-hmm.
Your
mm-hmm.
play, your conference,
mm-hmm.
your mom,
mm-hmm.
you know, stuff that you had to stay home with her and help her, and you did that, and, you know, God is just going to so bless you for that. But you have such a powerful message, and, but, you know, I know after a death of a mother, it takes a while to pick yourself
yeah.
back up. It feels like, okay, well, I'll just take a few weeks off from work, I'll have my little time for grieving, and I'll be able to just pick up my life and go on. But sometimes people don't realize that, yes, your life will go on, but you go on a little bit differently.
Yes, you do. Yes,
you know, like
do.
When Jesus, when his mother lost her son, you know, Jesus recognized, he says, mother, son, behold thy mother. Mother, behold thy son. There was a change in her life.
Uh-huh.
You know, we have, uh-huh. you know, I lost my mom in 2005, so I know it took a while. It was like a couple of years before
I found
out my new direction.
Mm-hmm. It takes something away from you. But what I've gained from that is, see, also my mother was a victim of abuse, you know, and she never
That has to be harder to really know that, because, like, I know possibly, who knows if my mom was or not, but the point I'm making is that because you knew it, that had to be even harder, Dr. Hunter. So, you know, really, you are, to me, you go beyond thriving, and you know, but go ahead.
And it was really kind of hard knowing that, you know, you lost your eyesight because you were beat blind. You know, she had a cataract that was on one eye that she was already blind in. But then the one eye that she could see out of, you know, someone to take you and beat you blind, you know, that was heart-wrenching for us. Really, to know that she endured that and went through that situation. But she never once, I never once heard my mother complain or have a self-pity party for herself. Never. And I'm pretty sure she also had experienced sexual abuse, probably at an early age, because of her latter actions, you know, as an adult. You know, I really feel as though, you know, she never expressed to me that she had or admitted to me that she had been. But I just assumed that she had been at one point in her life, just certain behaviors, you know, a pattern of behaviors that sometimes trickle down from that. And go ahead.
We just have a few seconds left to the show. We're going to be going off the air. But, you know, we I wanted to definitely just respect, you know, your time. And we're definitely going to pray that you're able to come on. Now, Tuesday, we come on the air at 7 a.m., and I have a special guest every Tuesday, and he does his broadcast. And so, but we have Wednesday, we have Thursday, we have Friday. So we're going to definitely get you back on whichever one of those mornings that you're available at 9 a.m. so that you can finish this show. And
okay.
But, yes, tell us where we can get your book.
Okay. You can go to any bookstore, Books A Million, Barnes & Nobles. You can go online to Amazon. You can go to Borders and get it. Any bookstore that's available out there or online, just type in Diary of a Crack Addict's Wife. And also you can go to YouTube and type in Dr. Cynthia D. Hunter, and it'll pull up various videos with me on it, and it'll have information as well as to where you can purchase the book. I just want to say thank you so much.
We love you. No, we got 60 seconds left, girl. You know you are my sister from another mother, for real, Dr. Hunter.
And,
you know,
we're gonna travel abroad with this.
Oh,
and,
girl!
My new puppy's name is Sebastian. He's a Pekingese Shih Tzu, and he's anointed and he's appointed. I got him because he's a therapeutic dog, and I want to take him into the group homes because these kids don't know love.
You gonna do it? Well, we gonna have you back on to talk about that. That's a whole nother topic. Because these young girls are still being molested. They're still keeping quiet. We got to get the word out. But, Dr. Hunter, you'll never believe what just happened. While you were sharing about your book, where we can get the book, The Diary of a Crack Addict's Wife, we want to support you. My cell phone rang, and I saw that it was a New York number. I don't get a lot of New York calls, so I'm like, who is this? So I took the call, I put the phone on mute. And who was it? None other than Dr. Tanya Blount.
No, it wasn't.
How come the both of you, I haven't heard from you in weeks. I haven't heard from her in almost a year. And how come the two of you are calling on this day? I'm just flabbergasted. I know God is up to something big because you are the reason that I know her. And because I knew her, and then I met you, and then a lot of things have happened in my life, very positive and very big. So I know we're going to another level, but the show is off. We're literally off the air now, so I have to do the closing. I'm going to call you back. I'm going to see what she wanted, and then we got to see something that we're all going to work on together, but I have to call her right back, and then I'm going to call you right back on my cell phone.
Yeah, and maybe we can do a three-way. I'll talk to you later. God bless.
All right,
call
dear.
Me back.
I'm going to call you and let you know. Okay, dear.
All right.
God bless. All right. Well, everybody, this has been the Coastal Elisa Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget to tune back in tomorrow at 7. For those of you who desire to write your book, we have this online self-publishing seminar. You can go to my Facebook page and get the flyer, or you can go to my website for all of the information, www.lilisajwilliams.com, and you can sign up for the author webinar tonight, How to Publish Your Book. Well, everybody, keep on, keep on, keeping on. Keep thriving. To thrive. Because there ain't no stopping.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach Lilisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you are here with us today for this 30-minute segment.
That's so amazing.
The Coastal Elisa Show could be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach Lilisa J. Williams.
Yeah, God bless you, woman of God. How are you? Oh, wonderful.
I'm fabulous. How are you doing?
Wonderful. Well, I can't wait to get over there to see you for myself.
As I was calling you about, because Apostle David, I don't know if you've been following the post on Facebook and everything.
I've seen that you have something coming up, but I think
He's back.
Oh, he is here. Okay.
And I wanted to see if possible if we could get him on, trying to get him a few interviews.
Okay.
Of course, now you just said about the sexual abuse. He's going to be here until, I believe, Thursday.
Okay.
Well, I want to just...
Yeah, let's do it. What you just tell me, tomorrow I have someone. Can he do morning, or does he, can he do morning?
He's not a morning person, but he can get up. Now, Tuesday, tomorrow, we have a meeting. So, tomorrow would not work that with that, which is good. But Wednesday, I can,
Let's see, Wednesday is what day? That's the 18th. Where's my little calendar? I don't have it. It's the 18th. What is on that day? I can do the show. I usually do the show around about this time, 9, but I could do it probably at 10 if that's better.
Okay, will that affect the audience?
Oh, well, yeah, because I've been trying to get back on a schedule because I wasn't on one for a little minute, and I've been trying to... get back to a 9 o'clock schedule.
Okay, 10?
Okay.